Today I would like to look at the example of Barnabas, and maybe you had already figured that out. Barnabas sets an incredible example of what it means to be a true friend, a positive example, and an encouragement to others, even in the midst of difficulties and difficult times. We know that prior to the return of Jesus Christ, and I know that our minds are rapidly thinking about the Feast of Trumpets, as that is rapidly approaching us. And when you think about those things and those events that will happen prior to the return of Jesus Christ, and it'll be a time of great difficulty. There'll be perilous times. We know prior to the return of Christ, it will be challenging times. It will be exposed times. And despite the challenges that will be present, we want to make sure that we are like a Barnabas in our attitude, that we are an encouragement to others around us. And the prevailing attitude that will be prevalent in the world and around us will be much different than one of encouragement. You can kind of think about a boat being on, a small boat in the midst of the ocean. The waves are going to be big. The waves are going to be choppy, but will we be able to come out of that smooth sailing and have the right attitude? Seldom do you find an individual with such positive traits, as illustrated in what we will look at today, as what Barnabas had. But it is a privilege when you do come across someone who has set such an example. So today in this first split sermon, I'd like to look at the example of Barnabas. The first thing you probably think of when you think of Barnabas is encourager. Encouragement, or one who encourages. Now, how would you like it if somebody stopped calling you by your name and started calling you by a nickname? And everywhere you went, you were known by the nickname instead of your real name. That was, Bob, man who cares. It's no longer Bob. Hey, there's the man who cares. Or Susan, she's full of hospitality. Hey, there's Susan, full of hospitality. Full of hospitality. how would you like it if that was your name? That's what everyone knew of you. Or that basically it was the nickname that was known more than the name. You say the Bob, and nobody really knows who Bob is. They know him as man who cares. It's kind of the same thing with Joseph. No more really was he called Joseph, but it was son of encouragement, Barnabas. Turn to Acts 4 and verse 32. Acts 4 in verse 32. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor were there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of land and houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each other anyone who had need. And Joseph, who is also named Barnabas by the apostles, was translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So we see both names mentioned by Luke, Joseph, and his nickname Barnabas. However, Luke never again refers to him as Joseph, but calls him Barnabas 23 more times. The apostle Paul refers to Barnabas 5 times in his epistles, but never once by his real name. The name that meant more to the apostles was obviously Barnabas, son of encouragement. It must have been because of his example of support, love, and courage to those around him, that positive influence that he had on others. The Greek word translated encouragement, according to Vine's Expository Dictionary, is defined as paraklesis, as a calling to one's side. And the word is closely related to parakletos, which is used in the New Testament only to describe the Holy Spirit as a comforter. In a legal setting, according to Vines, the parakletos was a legal assistant, counsel for the defense, and advocate. So in essence, Barnabas was known not for just offering a few words of encouragement, of comfort, but by standing beside people in the midst of trial. He was not emotionally detached from them, but he was joined with them in their troubles. To encourage means to give courage to continue or to move forward. So if one is an encourager, going to encourage one to move forward, might be there through your difficulties, in your trials, and through the stresses, but by your side, an advocate. It includes today what we would call consolation, exhortation, encouragement, cheerful helpfulness, and even proper positive praise. All these describe what Barnabas was like. I would imagine that Barnabas was like someone who did not give up on situations very easy. You know, he's going to endure and persevere and not give up on things. I would imagine that Barnabas was probably one who, I guess you would say, the one who had a glass half full. I think that he probably had that type of personality, and you know, he's not going to give up, and he's going to have optimism and hope and faith in the future. And I can think of a couple in this room who have set a good example in that direct way. You know, we know that the sergeants, through the many years of service, have set a wonderful example of encouragement and a positive attitude and a glass half full type of mindset. You know, always having a hope and giving a hope in difficult times and in positive times as well. But it takes love and faith to persevere and to suffer long with one another. It takes love to be an encouragement to others. Notice 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. As we see love defined, love suffers long, and it is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, nor does seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, and notice, hopes all things, endures all things. You know, one who has hope of things to come. You know, that's faith put into action. Faith involves hope. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. You know, things that's kind of not giving up type of attitude, to exhibit love and faith. And it takes hope to have faith. But that is a part of love. It's all tied together. Barnabas was an encourager of one's faith. Paul was an encourager of one's joy. One's faith. And it works together. Again, joy, faith, love, encouragement, kindness. What does that sound like? Think about the fruits of God's Spirit. And when God's Spirit is evident, there is that building up and encouragement. It's the fruit of God's Spirit working. There's overlap. And it is God's Spirit being used to encourage others. That's what love is. And a helper of one's joy. Notice Paul's description of a minister and his position. 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 21. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. You know, it's the Spirit of God that one receives. Moreover, I call God as a witness against my soul that to spare you, I came no more to Corinth. Not that we have dominion over your faith, but are fellow workers for your joy. For by faith you stand. You know, ministers are there to be helpers of joy, to be encouragers of joy. It takes faith and God's Spirit to have that love and encouragement and help to be encouragers of one's joy, to encourage others. However, one does not have dominion over someone else's faith. Everyone in here has a choice to make as far as their own faith goes and the attitude and actions. One does not have faith for someone else. Everyone has to make a choice. Everyone has to choose what attitude they allow to rule their minds, an attitude of faith and hope, so they can be an encouragement to others and avoid any attitudes or mindset of negativity. One who exhibits an attitude of encouragement makes a choice either to focus on the good and the positive or to dwell on the negative. I believe that Barnabas was one that chose to focus on the good. Otherwise, he would not be able to encourage one another. You come across a trial or a test, I give up. You know, I don't think that was his attitude at all. He persevered. Preteens and that anchor they've been going over, that holding fast. I believe he had an anchor that was down and he held fast. He persevered. But it's a choice. I believe that Barnabas was one who chose to focus on the good, hopes all things, believes all things. It's a mindset that we are to have as well. What is your attitude like? What is my attitude like? Is this the mindset that you and I have? One who chooses to dwell on the positive and the uplifting. We will not be able to encourage one another unless we do have that type of an attitude. But there's a choice that's involved. I don't think I would enjoy having the job as a home inspector, day in and day out, looking for the nitty-gritty, the fault. I'm going to find fault in your home and take joy in it. I don't think I would enjoy that type of attitude. Although I was, we do have a contract under our home now. I appreciate the prayers. I know many of you asked about that. And we came across the inspector accidentally. You're really not to have that contact with the inspector. And, we've been praying that we would get a good inspector, but we forgot something. He was going to be here in 15 minutes. We drove back to our home, and he was early. He was out in the parking lot. Oh, no. We left something. Sorry, we have to get it. Oh, no, that's fine. He came up and talked to us. He really encouraged us. And I thought, wow, that's incredible. This guy. And he was just so friendly and so nice. And then he gave us his car, and he says, if you like the inspection, maybe you can use it. Use me for in the future. I'm thinking, wait a minute. Why would I want to use him in the future unless he's a real stickler? And he was. Like that guy. He made me feel so good. And just thought he was such an encourager. This inspector was such an encouraging guy. And boy, he raked us over the coals. Like, I might use him in the future, actually. I think he knew what he was doing. But you have a choice. It's a mindset. And what are we going to do with what we have, no matter what the job is? As an inspector, even, be a joy to others, even the homeowners. And then, anyways. Gas station attendant. This past week, came across the most cheerful gas station attendant. And here's someone who does not have God's spirit. He made the comment about, because he asked, it was on the way here. I had to stop by the gas station on the way in. He said, why are you dressed up? Told him we're going to church. And, I'm sure God doesn't care what day you go to church on. So, I didn't say anything. But I will say, this guy, he was the most cheerful gas station attendant I had ever come across. Every person ahead of me, here's this line. Hey, how you doing there? What are you out doing today? Oh, your son, he's a real nice guy. And you're kind of waiting. What's he going to say now? He did it to every single person. Hey, you're looking sharp today. What are you doing out of today? But it was much different from the one next to him. Well, yeah, here, what do you got? Thanks. What do you got? Get out of here. But he was an encouragement to others. But you think, okay, here's someone that he doesn't have God's spirit, but what can we do? I mean, here God has given us his spirit, one of love and joy, peace, kindness, patience, and can we be an encouragement to others? Does that describe you and I? Hopefully we don't look for the negative. Hopefully we're not like an inspector, I guess. But there's a choice that's involved. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And purposefully think on these things that are positive, they're uplifting, of good report. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. To have a peace that comes from God, a purposeful meditation on these things. You notice it doesn't say whatever things are problems, dwell on these things. Whatever things that bug you, think about it a lot. Whatever things are of bad report, whatever things you disagree with, meditate on these things. Whatever annoys you from times past, think on these things. You know, no, it doesn't say that. Think on positive. But one has to purposefully choose what they will dwell on. But there is a blessing that comes from that. There is a peace of mind which combats anxiety and stress, thoughts of hopelessness, those things that really deplete faithfulness. You think about the faith of a little child. And what do they focus on? Because we can go through challenging times, and here we're faced with moving and buying a new home, but they're not that concerned about it. But what are they thinking on? They're not thinking about it. They just know we're going to go to a different place. Dad's got this. He's going to take care of it. Mom and Dad, do we feel that same way about our Heavenly Father? He's going to take care of us. But there's a childlike faith, and we could choose to dwell on the negatives. I don't think that they're dwelling on it. It's just, let's play. What are we going to do? Let's go swimming. No doubt we all face trials of faith, but what do we choose to dwell on? What will our actions be? As waves get bigger or choppier, will we hold fast to the rope? Will we hold fast and not let go? How is it that we can hold fast so that we can encourage others? Well, what does God command us to do if we are to hold fast in those difficult times and challenging times? It's interesting what we're told in Hebrews 10 and verse 25, because it does relate to encouraging others. That's a command that we are to have as things become more difficult. I don't know if we've thought about that before. And you think about persevering, about holding fast, and part of that has to do with being here and encouraging one another. That's a part of holding fast and not letting go of the rope when things get difficult. Hebrews 10 and verse 25, we don't want to let go of the rope. We want to hold fast. Hebrews 10 and verse 25. Actually, I'd like to start in verse 23 of Hebrews 10. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And again, there is a tie with hope and being able to encourage one. If one has no hope, how is one going to encourage one to have hope, to encourage others? How is one going to be faithful themselves and encourage others if they have no faith? And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The modern language translation says, continue to encourage each other, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So we think holding fast, what is good, and a confession of our hope, part of that has to do with encouraging one another as the day approaches. But we know as the day approaches, the waves will be choppier. But we are to hold fast. We are to encourage one another. So part of that command is not forsaking the assembly, being here, so we can also encourage one another and be an encouragement to one another. You know, the attitude that will be running rampant prior to the return of Jesus Christ is selfishness, unthankfulness, unloving, unforgiving, slanders without self-control, brutal, despisers of others and of good. Will it be easy to be an encourager when the prevailing attitude will be around us? It'll be those waves around us, but will we be an encouragement to others? Barnabas was an encouragement to others in the midst of difficulty. Will we be the same? We all like to be around people who are encouragers. I think that just as, you know, bad company corrupts good behavior, as we know the proverb, or there is a proverb pertaining to that, yes. But, you know, I believe that being around one who is an encourager can also kind of rub off as well. You know, I'd like to be like them as well. You know, if you're around somebody who has a positive attitude and an encourager. Again, the sergeants have set an incredible example on having a positive outlook and encouragement to one another. They've done this very directly, and they've done this indirectly as well. Because one can be an encouragement both directly and indirectly. One may not even realize they're being an encouragement to others when they in fact are, just by being by one side. But by directly encouraging someone, the Apostle Paul was very direct with his encouragement at times. Notice in Philippians 1 and verse 3, we'll look at some of a little bit about being a direct encourager and then also indirectly encouraging. Philippians 1 and verse 3. Here's Paul being very direct here. And we know he has been very direct before as well when he's had to correct. But he's also being very direct in his encouragement here. Philippians 1 and verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. You know, Paul doesn't say, I ask my God, why me, every time I think of you? Why me? No, he expressed sincere thankfulness and love. He's very direct with his encouragement. The Apostle Paul, he must have prayed for them a lot. His focus must have been on others, remembering those around him, remembering the joy and the fellowship that he shared. He thought highly of it. This is his focus and outlook. He says, I think of that. I remember this. No doubt we feel that way about the sergeants and very thankful for the time that we have shared, the joy experienced. No doubt we have all felt that direct encouragement from the sergeants. Both are very good at direct encouragement. Proverbs 15 and verse 23. Proverbs 15 and verse 23. I do want to let you know he is paying me for this, but, you know, just to kind of clear that up there. So, Proverbs 15 and verse 23. But a man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. You know, some are very good about the words that they choose and about what they say and being an encouragement to others. Some are gifted with the encouragement of saying the right thing at the right time, that direct encouragement. There are also times of encouragement that comes indirectly as well. You know, sometimes encouragement or consolation can come from just being there. Indirect encouragement, being a shoulder to lean on, someone to help alongside when hurting, one who offers support or gives of their personal time. What would have happened if Barnabas hadn't been willing to go out of his way for the Apostle Paul? And he had a good reason not to. He kind of had a bad reputation, I would think. He was held accountable for murdering Deacon Stephen, probably murdering others, probably held responsible for the murders and the persecution of individuals that they knew very closely. Why in the world would he take his own time and risk his own reputation? But this is a type of laying down one's life for someone else. Acts 9 and verse 26. Acts 9 in verse 26. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and rightfully so. I mean, well, I guess not rightfully so, because that wasn't the right direction to have. But given the circumstances, I mean, could you imagine what they were facing? And they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He was going to expose Saul, or it's going to be Paul, in a positive way, as proof. There's a change. And he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly in Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he spoke up for him. Here was an arch enemy of the church who had been the official of the stoning of Stephen, a persecutor of the church. Yet Barnabas was loyal. He had courage. He was encouraged. He was an advocate, as we mentioned before. He was willing to help expose the good. You know, because I have many examples right now thinking about the purchasing of or the selling of our home. But there's an insurance claim on our roof that I filed for about 4 months ago, and we had three separate contractors say you need a new roof. So this is now coming into play with the sale of our home. They want a new roof, and I understand the buyers want that. So I went back to the insurance agent and kind of told him some of the details of what had happened. I won't tell you what happened, but you know, he was a little baffled. He said, you know what, I don't want you to say another word to anybody with State Farm. I'm going to be your advocate. I'm going to be your voice. You don't worry about it. I'm gonna go to bat for you. And you know, that made me feel good. They may not come through, but it felt good to have an advocate. It felt good to have somebody saying, look, I've got this. And he said, you know, as I keep digging deeper into this, he says, it's really exposing some things that really, you know, has really brought some light to the attention to us. And he's talked to multiple supervisors of some of the individuals involved. So it's been kind of an interesting process. We'll see how it goes. But it does feel good if somebody says, you know what, I'm going to take my reputation, put that on the line. That's what Barnabas did. He indirectly, I guess, or directly, you could say, was an encourager. We know that ultimately God is the one that makes things right. And if we are yielded to him, he can change things and turn things around for good. But it doesn't hurt to have a friend, too, you know, a physical friend, who is an encourager through the process. Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 9 and 10 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will live up his companion, lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Barnabas was a friend, and he directly encouraged with and indirectly with support, loyalty, wisdom, and discernment. Proverbs 17 and verse 17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Even in the midst of difficult times, it's good to have a friend. We know when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Barnabas was someone who could encourage even in the difficult times, who looked for the good in others, focused on the positive, and didn't dwell on Saul's past mistakes, even though they were major. I imagine he was that half glass full guy. He was someone who exemplified how to be a good friend. There are few who carry these attributes of a friend. Seldom do you find one who has these traits, but it's a privilege when you come across somebody like Barnabas.